Pinkerton felt the same. Lincoln's diversion of McDowell's corps to chase Jackson indeed was a strategic blunder. The ponderous moving Union forces never bagged the fleet-footed Confederate commander. By early June, Pinkerton was physically ill. It was never recorded in the records what afflicted him. It could have been exhaustion from work, or he could have been stricken by the multitude of diseases that ravaged both sides during the war. Twice as many Union and Confederate soldiers died from disease as did from enemy weapons. Whatever the malady, it laid up Pinkerton for all of June and into early July. George Bangs took over sending information to McClellan and managing the Secret Service in Washington. Pinkerton still dictated letters from his cot in the field, and later a bed in Washington. He telegraphed Bangs on July 6th from the Capitol that he was still very sick, but hoped to rejoin Bangs in 2 to 3 days. Pinkerton did reach his deputy in a few days, appearing feeble and with some kind of ailment that Bangs said looked like malarious fever. What Pinkerton rejoined the second week of July was not a victorious force dining in Richmond, as many had predicted, but instead a demoralized army languishing some 25 miles south of the Confederate capital at Harrison's Landing on the James River. McClellan's backpedaling began on the morning of May 31st, when Johnston launched his reinforced army of 75,000 against the Union commander, who was bedridden with dysentery. McClellan's force of more than 100,000 at that point was within 5 miles of Richmond and divided by the rain-swollen Chickahominy. The spires of the Confederate capital's churches could be seen, and their bells could be clearly heard from the battle lines. Richmonders rode out in carriages to Johnston's eastern lines to watch the spectacle like theater-goers.